On the phone with us, Jack Spencer is with us from Capital Confidential. Good morning. How are you this morning?
Doing pretty well, Vic. Glad to be here.
Where are you this morning?
I'm in Lansing.
All right, let's talk a little. I was just reading over your piece you had written about union skimming. Explain this. Give us the general overview of this.
The general overview is two things. Number one is it was done secretly. It took place back in 2005-2006 period, and it was done with no public hearings. It was done with the news media being blacked out, so they didn't know what was going on. And that right there speaks a mouthful of the kind of things that were going on here. Had the public known about it, it probably could not have taken place. So it took place behind closed doors. And the other thing it did basically was it targeted a large number of people around the state who worked individually out of their own homes, et cetera, and received checks from the government. And the trick was to pencil in a dummy employer down here in the bureaucracy in Lansing, get a small group of this overall people who are working, have them vote for unionization, and abracadabra, you've got tens of thousands of people who receive government checks, having dues coming out of their checks and going to the union.
Reading from your piece today in the Capital Confidential, the Service Employees International Union is expected to surpass the level of contributions it gave the president in 2008. If the SEIU were to send him only the dollars accumulated from Michigan's home health care dues scheme, that would be enough. About 5 years ago, SEIU pulled off a covert forced unionization of 43,000 home caregivers in Michigan. All right, explain that a little bit, what the forced unionization of these 43,000 home caregivers.
It's the word forced is because the vast majority of people who were unionized had absolutely no idea what was going on. And we say that based on the evidence of how many voted in the election, in the unionization election, and just common sense. These are people working out of their own homes. And we say working, Vic, and the vast majority of these people are not professionals going from home to home with clients. They're people taking care of family members, et cetera, who get Medicaid checks from the government to help them out. And so you have this trick that the union used by penciling in a dummy employer for this vast number of people. At the time it was 43,000. It's now up to 56,000. People who have no common employer and no common work site. They put in a dummy employer in Lansing and then call for a unionization election. And the election that put all of these people, 43,000 at the time, into a union where the dues could come out of these government checks, 16.1% of those who could have voted in the election was enough to make them win the election, actually win the election overwhelmingly.
Okay, a couple of questions spring to mind. First of all, how can that be legal?
We don't believe that part was legal. We do not believe the penciling in of the dummy employer was legal. But frankly, the rest of it, we think, was a scam that simply because no one ever imagined it before, was technically, until somebody pulls a scam off or somebody thinks of a scam, how can anybody pass laws making it, outlawing it? So there's this little part where these people, we believe, were not eligible to be public employees to begin with. And after that, it was really just bending Michigan's employment relations structure around and twisting it like a pretzel. There is an attempt to outlaw this. It's House Bill 4003. It passed the House way last June. And the huge part of this story we're telling is the fact that the Senate so far has refused to pass that bill.
And what's the Senate's hang-up on this? Why are they either dragging their feet or not passing it?
So people should contact their senator and ask. It's a real question. I think you'll find that most senators will tell their constituents, most Republican senators will tell their constituents, oh, we think they should pass it, but leadership is holding it up. But it's just sitting there. We know that Senator Kahn, Republican from Saginaw, is the one who's been given the bill, basically the one to shepherd it through or to do whatever is supposed to happen with it. Basically, he seems to be sitting on it. But really, you know, overall, those other senators at some point have to be contacted and ask, hey, look, you know, are you going to let this happen or are you going to start saying enough's enough?
Jack Spencer, Capital Confidential, on the phone with us this morning. I'm guessing, and what I'm hearing from you and getting, is that the reasoning behind this unionization is that they're receiving public dollars.
Yes, this was part of nationally public sector unions. We're doing a big push on this in the middle of the last decade. Michigan had two variations of how they tried to do it, and they both used the same gimmick. They did unionizations that took place secretly, under cover of darkness, no public hearings, etc., penciled in a dummy employer to get these, I hesitate to use the word group of people across the state, because they really aren't a group. They're individuals.
Right.
There's no commonality, really, between them other than getting these checks. And then getting them into a union with a vast majority of them having no clue that somebody even says they have a common employer or that the election's going on. The other one was the daycare workers, which got more fame.
Right.
And that
yes.
one got Governor Snyder could stop that one, and he did when he got in office. Frankly, that daycare one has been an obstacle in telling this story because people thought, oh, that went away, and so they kind of turned their mind off on this stuff.
Well, why hasn't the governor paid more attention to this?
We think they're behind the curve. The dummy employer was defunded by the legislature last year. And Mackinac Center, CapCon, most people thought this was going to end with that defunding. October 1st, the new fiscal year came, and to everyone's shock, not everyone's shock, but to our shock and a lot of people's shock, the dues continued to come out of the checks. And that's when people, you know, woke up and said, hey, this isn't stopping. We've got to continue it. Right now, we're kind of cutting the governor's people some slack and saying, okay, it looks like, from talking to them, they're as far behind the curve on this story as the regular news media is.
Now,
I don't know how long you can cut them that slack, but I think they're still getting up to speed on this.
Well, perhaps. I mean, the governor's coming to Traverse City tomorrow. He's going to be touring and doing all sorts of things. The TV people and the Record Eagle will be following him around, I'm sure. I don't expect the Record Eagle to grill him too much on this. But perhaps somebody from TV could hit him with the question about why he's not taking more action or at least paying attention to this. Now, what bothers me here is that if they're going to make the argument that because someone is receiving federal dollar, state government dollars, then... Well, then everyone could be unionized to some degree. I mean, how about just simply folks on government assistance who get money from the government? Couldn't they be unionized as part of some union?
People who get food stamps. I mean, that could be the argument. But, Vic, you're making more of an argument in that statement right now than what the people do who try to justify this. They don't even want to talk about the unionization. I work for MERS Newsletter for 13 years. That's an insider political newsletter in Lansing. And usually by this time, I've been covering this since last October, usually by this time you get some idea from the inside of what's really going on. This year just hitting this wall, just this wall of sort of phony diversions and really no explanation. No one really defends what happened back then in 2005 and 2006. You just get a bunch of talk about some value in the dummy employer, which, by the way, now claims it's not the employer anymore. So it was the employer back then for the purpose of the unionization. It now says it's not the employer. These people are back again, working like they did, you know, in terms of the individual people they take care of. Often they're just family members. But the big difference is that dues is coming out of their checks. So it's like, abracadabra, you were under this one supposed employer. That employer is now withdrawn, but in the meantime, you were unionized. The lack of an explanation, you really do not get any defense of what happened back then. You get diversions, but no one even wants to really defend what happened back then.
Who was the employer? Who was that dummy employer?
It was an agency called the Michigan Quality Community Care Council. It's called MQC3. And actually, we know from the roots of this unionization, which stretch back to the original granddaddy of these, which is was a Los Angeles local 6434. We know now that that was created specifically to be the dummy employer, and that they did the same trick that they did back in Los Angeles. They gave it some kind of purpose that would make it sound like it had some value. The purpose that this was given was the creation of a registry of these people. And you got 56,442 people that are having dues taken out of these checks, and that registry in 6 years has managed to get 933.
Yeah, and the real purpose is a money grab.
Yes.
We've got this market. Here, let's exploit this market and get some dues for us.
And for those who listen that might not be on our side in this argument, I think we should point out that a month ago we weren't sure that this was created for that purpose or if it was created for the registry and they just happened to grab it. But we know now that its specific purpose was to be the dummy employer, and they added the registry afterward in order to have something they could argue was of value in this. And that should wake those people up. That means we're finding out more about how this happened on a weekly basis.
All right, so what do you see the future of all this being, what with what the Senate is or is not doing? And, what does this look like in a year?
Well, I'll tell you, I think they're on very thin ice doing this. The story I wrote that was published today was one of a series. We are not going to stop writing them. We are going to write them every week until next Christmas. And that's the kind of coverage this thing has never gotten before. This has managed to stay alive because there's been an article written about it here and there, and then somebody might read it and get a little confused and a little angry, but then it disappears again. And they've done very well keeping this alive by stonewalling it. But our strategy is basically to write story after story after story after story until this thing gets stopped. It is absolutely ugly.
How has the Tea Party stayed so quiet on all this?
The Tea Party is upset about it, and they talk about it, but there are these confusions. One has been the confusion with the daycare and the fact that got so much ink, and so there's some confusion with that. The other part is all these caveats in it and how it took place. But I think more and more when I call Tea Party people and mention this, they know what I'm talking about. And that wasn't true even 2 months ago. 2 months ago, I'd have to spend 5 minutes explaining, and they might go, oh, I kind of remember reading about that. Now it's to the point where when I call people, they're pretty much on top of it and know what's going on, and they're angry about it.
Yeah, yeah. Jack Spencer on the phone with us. Capital Confidential, MichiganCapitalConfidential.com. How long have you been writing for them?
I've been writing for them since July. Prior to that, I was at MERS Newsletter, an inside political newsletter right down the street from the Capitol, and I was there 13 years.
Off topic just a little bit, but as we go to break or get ready to go to break, what do you think of the situation in Michigan after the primary, after everything, the robocalls, the ads, the bickering and all this? It looks like we're going to split the delegates, either 15-15 or 16-14. So a little kissing your sister in the Michigan primary, I suppose.
Well, it's interesting because the Michigan primaries have had a long history of, at the end of the day, when it gets to the convention, you look back at them and they have no effect. And that includes some pretty amazing votes in the past. You know, the McCain upset of Bush in 2000, Jesse Jackson winning in 88, George Wallace in 72. And yet we've had this incredible record of even at the moment it looks like it's important. By the time it gets to the convention, you look back at it and it really didn't make that much difference.
Jack Spencer, thank you, sir. We appreciate your time this morning.
It's great being here, Vic. Thanks for having me on.
All right, we're going to go to break, folks. We'll come back. Hans Voss with the Michigan Land Use Institute will share a few minutes with us talking about the governor's visit to Traverse City tomorrow. We'll be right back.